Today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. It's always an honor and pleasure for me to do so. Thank you for joining us here on the show today. There are a couple of other things. We started the show off with discussing how the Democrats have dug themselves a deep hole and seem to just keep digging deeper and deeper as they try to spin this false narrative that President Trump has taken us into an era of chaos and disruption, and we don't know what we're doing, which is, of course, utter nonsense. President Trump laid out a number of his accomplishments in his first 100 days, and it has been fabulous. I think consumer confidence is up. There's an upbeat spirit that is in America right now, unless you're a Democrat, that we are hopeful for the future. We know things are going to be better. We have to go through this period right now of where Trump is trying to make our tariff system equal, make it fair with what is going on with the rest of the world, where they were charging us outrageous tariff amounts, and we were not reciprocating. So as that equalizes out and we see that trade routes and supply routes are going to have to be adjusted, they will be adjusted, I guarantee you. They will be. Don't listen to all this nonsense that we're in chaos and things are never going to be the same. Things are never going to be better again. And Trump has taken us down this road that is going to lead to destruction. Don't believe it. You know better, and I know better. So let's continue our show with this article that was written in America Free News Network by a David Croft. And it talks about the My Body, My Choice, the fatal flaw in the abortion mantra. The phrase, my body, my choice, has become the modern-day mantra of the abortion movement, a slogan chanted at protests, printed on signs, and defended with religious-like zeal. It sounds empowering. It sounds liberating. But beneath the surface is nothing more than a clever disguise for a brutal lie. It's not just a political talking point. It's a moral and spiritual deception that has cost over 63 million lives in America alone and wounded millions of hearts in the process. Let's pull back the curtain. This article written by David Clough goes on to say, point number one, it's not your body. The entire abortion argument hinges on one fundamental lie, that the baby in the womb is somehow part of the mother's body. But this is not science. It's superstition dressed in progressive language. From the moment of fertilization, a completely separate human being exists, one with unique DNA, a distinct heartbeat, and often a different blood type and biological sex. This child is not a tumor, organ, or parasite. It is new human life, temporarily residing within the mother's womb, not part of it. We don't use bodily autonomy to justify violence against others. You can't punch someone in the face and claim, my body, my choice. And yet that same twisted logic is applied to a baby who is utterly dependent and voiceless. Dependence does not make someone less human. It makes them even more deserving of protection. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call in at 904-831-0917. I know most of you who are listening to this program agree that abortion is murder, that it is something that is way beyond my body, my choice. We're going to continue with this article written by David Clough for the American Free News Network. Point number two, he goes on to say, the womb is holy ground. Amen. The Bible is clear and consistent on this. God knows and forms human life before birth. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's Psalms 139:13-14. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. That's Jeremiah 1:5. This isn't poetic metaphor. It's divine revelation. God is not waiting for a baby to hit 40 weeks to bestow value on it. That value is woven into our DNA from the first cell division. And let's not forget the command that still matters today. Thou shalt not murder, Exodus 20:13, ending an innocent life, whether inside or outside the womb, is a violation of God's law. I want to pause in this article just briefly here because of the verse that comes from Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That means before conception actually took place, you existed with God. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knew you before he wonderfully and carefully knitted you together in your mother's womb. That is an amazing fact. You are an eternal being. And when you die, you will still be an eternal being. Once you live this physical body, you will go to one of two places. You will be in the presence of God, or you will be separated from him and cast into hell. It's that simple. You are an eternal being. And it is up to you to determine where you are going to be based on the decision you will make. Will you accept the free gift that God has given us, life through Jesus Christ, his Son, who bore our sins on the cross, died, descended into hell, and after 3 days ascended again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And if you accept that he has removed your sin from you as a free gift, acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, you will spend eternity after you leave this body with him in his presence in glory. If you reject that, the Bible is very clear that you will spend eternity in hell and in torment. Okay, let's get back to this article that was written by David Clough for the American Free News Network. He goes on to say why this mantra of my body, my choice is a flawed abortion mantra. Point number three he makes, my choice ends where another life begins. In every functioning society, personal freedom is limited when it threatens someone else's life. You can't drink and drive. You can't sell your kidney to the highest bidder. You can't assault someone and claim it was your right. So why would a woman's bodily autonomy override the most basic human right of all, the right to life? The baby in the womb is not her property. It's not her tissue. It's a separate person. And choice stops where innocent blood begins. Point number four that he makes, the slippery slope of redefining personhood. History has shown us repeatedly that once we start deciding who qualifies as human enough to live, atrocities follow. It is done with slavery. Those who are being enslaved are always being deemed as less than a person. It was done in Nazi Germany, where Jews, the disabled, and others were labeled as subhuman. And it's happening again today with the preborn. The same society that shudders at racism and genocide now defends the dismemberment of fully formed babies in the name of convenience. That's not progress. That's regression into barbarism with better marketing. It's horrific. Her body, her regret. Here's another point that this David Clough is making, who's writing for American Free News Network. Another point that he makes, her body, her regret, the hidden cause. The abortion industry preaches empowerment, but profits off pain. They won't tell you about the post-abortive depression, anxiety, infertility, or spiritual trauma that haunts millions of women afterwards. They won't tell you that nearly 1 in 4 women in America will have an abortion by age 45. That comes from the Guttmacher Institute. Or that they may do so under pressure, fear, or false information. The abortion industry especially won't tell you about the ones who now speak out and say, I was lied to, I was rushed, I thought it wasn't a baby, or I never healed. Abortion just doesn't end a pregnancy. It ends a life. And often damages another. Another excellent point that David Clough is making here, point number six, you don't own what you didn't create. From a biblical standpoint, the my body argument collapses completely because your body isn't your own, not if you belong to Christ. You are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. If you're a follower of Jesus, You don't get to claim full control over your own life, let alone someone else's. Your body is a temple. Your life is a stewardship. And the body inside your body, that's a human life entrusted to you, not a possession to discard. David Cloth, who's writing for the American Free News Network, goes on to say, forgiveness is real for everyone. Now hear this. If you've had an abortion, God still loves you. You are not beyond his reach. Abortion is a sin, but it's not an unforgivable one. The same Jesus who forgave the adulterer, the thief, the murderer, and the denier, he forgives this too. His mercy is not shocked by your story, and his blood covers even this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. There's healing for the guilt, peace for the shame, hope for the future. You don't have to carry this alone. You don't have to hide. There are scars he can still turn into a testimony. Another point that the author of this article, Dr. Cloft, is making as he writes for America Free News Network of the fatal flaw in the abortion mantra, my body, my choice. He goes on and makes another excellent point. The numbers don't lie. The scope of this crisis is staggering. 1 in 4 women in the U.S. will have an abortion by age 45. Over 630,000 abortions occur each year in the United States alone. That's about 1,700 pre-born children killed every single day. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, over 63 million babies have been aborted in America. That's more than a population today of California and Texas combined. This isn't a fringe issue. This is a silent genocide of our time. And history will ask us where we stood. Here is the final word, written by David Cloth for the American Free News Network. Here his final point is, life is always the right choice. Amen. My body, my choice is not the cry of the oppressed. It's the cry of a culture that has made self-worship its highest god. But when choice comes at the cost of innocent blood, it's no longer freedom. It's rebellion. But Jesus offers another way. He offers mercy for the mother, redemption for the father, and justice for the child. Because life, every time, is still the right choice. Amen. What an excellent article that David Croft wrote for the American News Network. Excellent article, made some tremendous points. And I would like to add to that, that if you are an elected official, that means to occupy your seat, you must say an oath of office that you solemnly swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, inextricably tied to our Constitution is the Declaration of Independence. You cannot separate the two. The 27 grievances listed in the Declaration of Independence, you will find a solution to those grievances in our Constitution and the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. You cannot separate the two. And it is very clearly stated in our Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths. It's the truth. Self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Notice the first one is life. The next sentence in that declaration is even more important. And government is instituted among men to preserve these rights, to protect these rights. That's why government exists. So if you are an elected official, you must, if you take your oath seriously. And if you do not take your oath seriously, then you are illegitimate and should not be able to occupy that seat. You said an oath to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property. You said an oath, and you swore it to the living God, whether you recognize that or not. If you did not, then again, your oath is illegitimate. I see we have a caller on the line. Josie, yes, what is your question or comment, please?
Hello?
Is it Jose?
Yes. Hey, yes. I mean, the level of brainwash on this topic of the people, and we have to pray as Christians, you know, so these people can open their eyes and they realize that they are being misguided and misled by so many so-called professors. I watched a video on a radical feminist when she was a feminist, defending and arguing and this and this and that. And, you know, they got those videos when they said three Doritos later. She was pregnant. And when they asked her, how do you feel now? What do you think about what you got in your stomach? She broke. She was in tears. This is the best thing that happens to me. Now I know that she's a human being. And I think we have to pray so they can come to the conclusion that all the lies that they are being told by the media, by the schools and universities, it's not so. The same thing with the communists. You know, the communists in Harvard and everything, when they go to Cuba and they spend there a month or 2 months, they go like, wait a minute, this is not what they told me on the books. You know what I mean? Because it's okay to be a communist in the United States. You know what I mean? We call it a caviar communist. Anybody. But when you go there and you live among them and you see what's going on, they realize. And I think that's the battle that we have, brother. We have to pray so they can open their eyes. And they say, wait a minute, I've been misguided, I'm being misled. And I think that's the focus that we have to do. We need to speak it the way that you're doing and your dad, but we need to also pray so they can realize that they are being misled, they're being misguided, and they are being lied to. That's what it is. I mean, it's just sad, brother, what's going on. But anyway, it's a great show. I keep on listening. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
Yes, thank you for your phone call, Jose. And I agree with you 100%. They have been lied to. They have been misled. But there are some who recognize that lie, and they will do it anyway, just as you mentioned. And here are these people who they will interview after they've had an abortion, and they will celebrate it and say they are proud that they did it. It is a lie. It's a lie that comes from the pit of hell. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood. And if you would like to join the show with a comment or a question, you can call in at 904-831-0917. I see we do have another caller. Lisa, yes. Lisa, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello, Mike.
Please.
Thank you for doing the show. What an awesome show so far. And that article on the abortion is the best one I have heard so far. The that I would like to add is that the choice that my body has is to do the deed to make the baby or not.
That's right.
That is their choice. And when I present that in groups, even Christian, I say, what happened to abstinence? You know, what happened to abstinence? And people say that it is unrealistic. Well, we've got to do mighty work in the value of saving ourselves for marriage and restill that innocence of the whole sacred entity of being man and wife and having the child, this gift that God gives us when we can you know, are ready for it. I just would like to add that one thing, that it is our choice. Our body has the choice to have intercourse and to not have it. And that's is right. The choice. After that, everything else is in God's hands.
Lisa, you are absolutely right. You know, and then there are those, when you say that the choice is made there, they'll say, well, what about rape? But what about incest? There was no choice. It was forced on them at that time. And what about those pregnancies? Well, my response to that is, yes, as horrible and atrocious as the crime of rape is, if God decides that there's going to be a life there, and that's the only one who would decide if there's going to be a life there, he's the one who gives life, if God decides that, who are us to say, no, God, you made a mistake, we have to kill that baby? The baby in the womb should not be punished for the crime of the father.
And I was a behavioral health nurse and a sexual assault nurse examiner, and I can tell you the fraction of people that have or that conceive during rape is so minuscule that they weigh out, they weigh magnify the proportion. Just because they know it will attack people's feelings and they will be able to persuade people to get on their side related to rape and incest and stuff. I don't know the percentage, but it's so minuscule compared to the mass genocide that is happening across our world.
No, you're absolutely right, Lisa. It's like if you looked at the total number of pregnancies and then those that are created by rape or incest, it's less than 1%. Mm-hmm. It, as you say, it is very minuscule, less than 1%. I think it's less than 0.01%.
I think it is 0.01%. Small. And we need to say that over and over and over and over, because the truth is going to make us free, but we don't speak the truth enough. We speak so much about the bad that they're doing. We need to speak more about the facts that will help people go walk away from that bad.
That's right. Lisa, we have to go now. Thank you so much. This has been My Kill, sitting in for Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Have a blessed day, ladies and gentlemen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. We at WTRJ The Truth are happy to tell you about our new shout-out feature on the Truth smartphone app. Now you can encourage others on the air with short testimonies on how this radio station